This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Have you ever found yourself in this incredibly frustrating scenario?
Oh, I think we all have at some point.
Right, like you ask an AI, maybe ChatGPT or Google Gemini for a recommendation.
Yeah, maybe you're looking for a highly specialized B2B service.
Exactly, or even just a local commercial contractor.
Yeah.
And the AI processes your prompt and it confidently spits out a recommendation.
But the company it recommends is, well, it's an objectively inferior, less established competitor.
Yes, and it completely ignores the massive industry heavyweight located just down the street from you.
It's baffling.
As someone who thrives on staying informed, you know, staying ahead of the curve, you know, there has to be a logical reason. But the old logic of digital visibility, it doesn't explain it at all.
It really doesn't. I mean, we spent a decade operating under the assumption that the company at the top of the list simply outbid everyone else.
You paid Google enough money, you got the visibility.
Right. But the architecture of AI recommendation engines has entirely decoupled visibility from ad spend.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are doing a deep dive today into a 2026 digital marketing guide published by Double Dome Digital Marketing.
And they tackle this really fascinating concept called the AI brand coherence audit.
Yeah, and their central thesis is that the reason that supposedly great company is invisible, it has absolutely nothing to do with their marketing budget.
Not at all.
The culprit is this hidden technical liability called entity confidence.
Right. And we really need to figure out how these algorithms are actually judging the digital footprint of every business.
And frankly, every professional out there.
For sure. To understand how to win those AI recommendations, we first have to look at the very real pain points traditional businesses are facing right now.
Yeah. The guide outlines a situation where growth-focused executives are just, they're watching their organic website traffic drop off a cliff.
Customer acquisition costs are surging.
And the leadership is completely baffled because they know their actual product is superior.
The source material paints such a vivid picture of those internal executive meetings, too.
Oh, yeah, there's so much finger pointing because no one can figure out where the leads went.
I love that line from the text that perfectly captures this frustration.
Oh, wait, I have it right here. Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue.
That's the one.
Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
It's so true. It's a reality most marketing departments are actively wrestling with.
I mean, for years, attribution knowing which specific touch point resulted in a sale, it was basically a guessing game mitigated by tracking cookies.
Yeah, but with generative AI answering user queries natively, the user doesn't always need to click through to 5 different websites anymore.
Right. The AI just synthesizes the research for them.
Exactly.
So I was trying to conceptualize why an AI would ignore a great company. And I kept coming back to the idea of like a high level security clearance.
Okay. I like where this is going.
You sit down with a federal investigator and they pull up your file. But you submitted 4 different forms over the years and you wrote completely different job titles on each one.
Oh, that's a red flag.
Right. On one form, you're a data analyst. On another, you're an information architect. On another, a spreadsheet wizard. And your address doesn't even match on any of them.
The investigator isn't going to look at that file and think, wow, what a diverse and dynamic candidate.
Exactly. They are going to flag you as highly unreliable and just deny the clearance.
Let's take that security clearance analogy a step further because it perfectly illustrates the mechanics of a large language model.
Okay, how so?
Well, an LLM doesn't have human suspicion, obviously, but it does have mathematical thresholds.
Right.
When an AI like Gemini or ChatGPT processes queries, it isn't making subjective judgments about the quality of your customer service.
It can't.
Right. It scans millions of data points across websites, directories, and press releases to build a probabilistic knowledge graph.
Okay, but I understand a federal investigator getting suspicious looking at paper forms. But an LLM just processes data.
Yeah.
How does conflicting information physically translate into a rejection by a neural network?
It comes down to vector spaces and statistical consensus.
Sounds intense.
It's just math, really. Inside a knowledge graph, entities like a business are mapped based on the mathematical proximity of facts associated with them.
Okay, I'm following.
If it analyzes your company and your website says you are a B2B growth consultancy, the AI plots that data point.
Right.
But then it cross-references your LinkedIn profile, which lists you as a marketing agency.
Oh, I see.
And then, you know, an old press release from 5 years ago calling you a digital design studio.
So the investigator sees the conflicting job titles.
Exactly. Those conflicting descriptions create a wider, fuzzier vector space. The mathematical consensus just weakens.
And the math starts to break down.
Yeah, the AI detects what the source text calls low entity confidence.
Low entity confidence.
Got it. And this is the crucial mechanism. LLMs are programmed with a primary directive to avoid hallucinating inaccurate details.
Because if an AI gives a user bad information, it loses trust.
Precisely. So when it encounters a fuzzy mathematical consensus about what a business does, who it serves, or where it's located, it views that business as an algorithmic risk.
Wow.
To avoid hallucinating, it simply drops the ambiguous brand from its output entirely.
It's a complete inversion of how we've thought about SEO.
It really is.
I mean, we've spent 20 years trying to look like the absolute best option through flashy copy and design, and now we just need to look like the most mathematically verifiable option.
What's fascinating here is that the AI isn't judging the quality of your actual work at all.
Right. It doesn't know if you are the greatest B2B consultancy in the world.
It is strictly judging the structural consistency of your identity,
resulting in the AI citing a competitor who might be way worse at their job,
but who possesses a perfectly coherent digital footprint.
Man, so if the problem is a fuzzy mathematical consensus, the solution has to be tightening that data across the board.
Exactly. And the Double Dome Guide suggests starting with the human-readable text.
Right, by defining one canonical description of your business model, your primary services, and your target customer profile.
That is the absolute foundation of the AI brand coherence audit. You have to standardize your core entity terminology everywhere.
The text specifically mentions eliminating outdated agency buzzwords.
Oh, we all know those.
Yeah, we have all seen those corporate bios that are just an incomprehensible word salad of, like, synergistic, paradigm-shifting solutions.
It's meaningless to an AI.
You have to pick a lane. If you sell commercial HVAC systems, you have to say commercial HVAC systems on your website, your social headers, your corporate profiles.
Identical messaging.
But I mean, implementing that across a massive company seems like a political nightmare.
Oh, it is.
You've got the sales team using one pitch, marketing using a trendy new campaign slogan, and the CEO using completely different terminology in a podcast interview.
It requires immense organizational discipline because the algorithm doesn't care about your internal departmental silos.
Right.
If marketing and sales are publishing conflicting definitions of your core product, the AI registers that as low entity confidence.
So the entire organization must adopt the canonical description.
Without exception.
Okay, so we fix the English for the human readable elements.
Yeah.
But ChatGPT isn't just browsing your About Us page like a human.
No, it's a machine parsing code.
So how do we translate that perfectly clear English into something an algorithm inherently trusts?
The guide points heavily to machine-readable schema, specifically valid JSON-LD schema blocks.
Okay, wait, I have to offer a hypothesis here because I was thinking about this.
Sure, go ahead.
My assumption was always that JSON-LD is basically just the 2026 version of keyword meta tags. Like you're just stuffing terms into the back end to trick the crawler into noticing you.
It's a really common misconception, actually, but they operate on completely different mechanical levels.
Would they? How so?
Well, old SEO meta tags were essentially semantic hints. You slapped a label on a web page to loosely tell a search engine, hey, this page is generally about marketing.
Right, which was super easily manipulated.
Exactly, it was unstructured. JSON-LD, on the other hand, which stands for JavaScript Object Notation for linked data, is a structured database format running silently behind the page.
Okay, so how does that actually change the way the AI interacts with the site?
Think of it less like a label and more like an API endpoint.
Or like a USB cable plugging directly into the search crawler.
That's a great way to look at it. It's code that explicitly feeds the machine algorithm exact, structured facts in its native language using standardized key-value pairs.
So the AI doesn't have to parse your website's design or try to infer meaning from your paragraphs.
Exactly. The JSON-LD explicitly states organization name is X. Geographical service coordinates are Y. Standardized service category is Z.
It's bypassing the interpretation phase entirely.
100%.
You aren't hoping the AI understands you do commercial HVAC. You are literally injecting the mathematical proof of that fact directly into its crawler.
Precisely. And when you match the specific parameters in that backend code directly with the descriptions in external directories, you give the algorithm structural proof that you are who you say you are.
And that is how you achieve high entity confidence.
That's the secret sauce.
Which brings us to the rest of the internet. Because our website can be a perfect, machine-readable truth beacon, but the probabilistic graph pulls from everywhere.
It sure does.
The guide emphasizes the critical nature of cross-platform NAP name, address, and phone data and specific service perimeter alignment.
And this is where the structural integrity of many businesses just falls apart.
Because it's not just about having your address correct on your own contact page.
No, it's verifying that your NAP data, and specifically your explicit service area zip codes, are perfectly mirrored across Google Business, Apple Maps, Bing Places, and industry vertical B2B databases.
I assume the reason a tiny discrepancy is so damaging goes right back to that hallucination risk.
Exactly right.
Like, if your service zip code is 90210 on your perfectly coded website, but an old Bing Places profile from 6 years ago says 90211.
The math breaks.
Wow.
The AI sees a direct contradiction. It doesn't want to risk telling a user to go to the wrong zip code or call a disconnected number.
So the easiest path to zero hallucination risk is to just drop you from the recommendation entirely.
The alignment must be absolute. There's no wiggle room anymore.
Okay, let's talk about the historical cleanup, because this is where I think a lot of executives will probably balk.
Oh, they definitely do.
The guide mentions third-party citation and PR alignment. It insists that you have to audit your historical digital footprint.
Yep, press releases, guest articles, partner pages on other websites.
And ensure they use your newly standardized terminology. I mean, I have to play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
Finding a webmaster from a local news site to change a press release from 2022 seems like a massive waste of resources.
I know, it is incredibly tedious work. But you have to view the internet as like digital sedimentary rock.
Okay, I like that visual.
Most companies have layers of different eras, different marketing agencies, and different strategies just piled on top of each other.
Right.
Every uncorrected historical node out there is a drag on your entity confidence score.
So even if your current website is perfect, that press release from 4 years ago calling you a digital design studio instead of a B2B growth consultancy, it's actively sabotaging your mathematical consensus today.
Yes, unfortunately it is. You are essentially trying to rewrite your own history across the web to remove algorithmic friction.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. There is a fantastic quote from the source text regarding why this foundational cleanup is so difficult for fast-moving companies to swallow.
Oh, let's hear it.
It says, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
You don't get the apples tomorrow. I love that.
Right.
It takes time for the AI crawlers to re-index all those corrected nodes and recalculate your confidence score.
It definitely does.
But let's say a company commits to the process. They clean up the internal terminology. They deploy the JSON-LD schema. They rewrite their history.
They plant the orchard.
Exactly. And eventually, they achieve what the text calls preferred answer status. They were now being cited natively inside ChatGPT and Gemini summaries.
That's the goal.
Here's where it gets really interesting. How does the measurement of success actually change in this new ecosystem?
Well, it requires abandoning the old paradigm of reporting entirely.
Good riddance to the abstract PDF decks full of vanity metrics, right?
Yes. Impressions, clicks, time on page, they are all becoming completely obsolete.
The guide actually points out the fundamental flaw in that old model with a pretty stark visual.
The bucket analogy.
Yeah, it says, many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in.
It's a brutal image, but it's accurate.
Under the old system, you might get a massive spike in traffic from a viral campaign or a broad keyword. But if the digital experience is disjointed or it's just the wrong traffic, those leads just pour right out the bottom.
Exactly. You generate clicks, but you don't generate closed contracts.
So the focus fundamentally shifts from measuring top of funnel noise to measuring bottom of funnel reality.
Right.
The text details a shift toward OCI, which stands for offline conversion tracking.
Wait, let me stop you there and push on the mechanics of OCI, because this is where the AI ecosystem gets a bit confusing for me.
Sure, let's break it down.
If I ask Gemini for a local B2B service, there is no traditional tracking cookie, right?
Correct.
There's no UTM parameter attached to a clickable display ad. If the user just reads the AI summary, picks up their phone, and calls the vendor,
yeah.
How on earth does the offline conversion tracking system trace a closed contract back to a text prompt they typed into an AI 3 weeks prior. It's a really complex problem, but 2026 server-side infrastructure has actually solved it through deterministic and predictive matching.
Okay, how does that work?
AI platforms aren't using traditional browser cookies anymore. They are utilizing secure server-to-server data environments.
I see.
When an AI generates a citation link to your company, it can append an encrypted ephemeral tracking parameter.
Got it. And if the user clicks, your server captures that parameter.
Exactly.
But what if they don't click? What if it's a voice query and they just dial the phone number the AI reads out to them?
That is where dynamic AI allocated tokens come into play.
Okay, you have to explain that one.
Well, as part of your machine readable schema, businesses are allocating specific dynamic phone numbers or contact endpoints explicitly for AI ingestion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if Gemini surfaces that specific phone number and a user calls it, your customer relationship management software, your CRM, knows instantly that the lead originated from an AI recommendation, even without a click.
That is wild. Yeah. So the lead enters the CRM cleanly attributed to the AI.
Yeah.
The sales team takes over, works the lead for a month, and finally closes, say, a $50,000 contract.
Nice.
How does the marketing dashboard know that happened?
The loop closes via an API handshake.
A handshake.
Right. When the contract is signed, the CRM pings the AI platform's conversion API with a secure hashed data packet.
Okay.
It essentially says, hey, that encrypted lead you sent us on the 14th, it just resulted in $50,000 of revenue.
It connects the end of the buyer's journey directly back to the initial AI prompt.
Entirely bypassing the need for cookies or vanity metrics.
You aren't tracking impressions at all. You are tracking the exact revenue generated by your entity confidence.
And that data feeds back into the AI's algorithm, further reinforcing its confidence in recommending you.
Because you just proved you were a legitimate operational business that successfully resolves user queries.
Exactly. It creates a virtuous cycle.
I really love how blunt the ultimate philosophy of this text is. It just says you don't need more traffic, you need more customers.
It is about eliminating the fluff of digital marketing.
The goal isn't a 50-page analytics report filled with charts showing how many people glanced at your homepage.
Nobody wants to read that anyway.
Right. The goal is a centralized dashboard that simply says, I spent X dollars on our coherence infrastructure, and our systems returned Y dollars in closed contract revenue.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals a fundamental truth about where the economy is actually heading.
Which is?
The digital interfaces where clients find solutions, they will constantly evolve.
Yeah, today it's ChatGPT and Gemini.
Tomorrow, it might be wearable neural interfaces or ambient voice assistants.
Sure.
But the core math of business scale remains completely constant. Clarity eliminates waste.
Clarity eliminates waste. I love that.
Mm.
If your data is pristine and your identity is mathematically coherent, you stop renting temporary traffic from expensive ad networks.
Exactly. You start building a permanent structural growth engine.
Because once the AI inherently trusts your data, that trust pays dividends across every single platform and query related to your industry.
You shift from a defensive posture where you are constantly chasing the latest algorithm update or some new social media trend to an offensive posture.
You own your market share because the foundational math of your digital presence is completely bulletproof.
Absolutely.
So to summarize the core lesson for you listening right now, AI recommendation engines are, at their absolute core, mathematical truth seekers.
They do not care about how flashy your website design is.
Or how clever your ad copy sounds. If your digital footprint is scattered with conflicting job titles, outdated addresses, and vague industry buzzwords, you are effectively invisible to the systems that matter.
But if you take the time to execute a rigorous AI brand coherence audit,
if you standardize your terminology across your entire organization, validate your machine-readable schema, align your external directories, and systematically clean up your past,
you stop being an ambiguous variable.
You become the definitive answer.
You transition from a probabilistic guess to a preferred entity.
So what does this all mean for you? I highly encourage you to examine your own company's digital footprint today.
Or even your personal professional brand.
Yeah, across LinkedIn, industry blogs, your personal website. Are you sending conflicting signals to the algorithms?
Are you the spreadsheet wizard in one directory and the data analyst in another?
Because if your math is fuzzy, you might be quietly filtering yourself out of massive opportunities you don't even know exist.
You know, this raises an important question, and it's something worth mulling over long after we sign off today.
What's that?
Well, we've established that AI recommendation engines rely entirely on entity confidence and perfect digital consistency to choose their preferred answers.
Right.
But if that is the fundamental mechanism of discovery moving forward, are we entering an era where absolute digital coherence is actually more important to an AI than the physical quality of the service you provide in the real world?
Oh, wow. That is a fascinating realization.
It makes you think.
If the algorithm cannot independently verify your physical quality, but it can perfectly verify your digital consistency, consistency will win every single time.
That is the reality of the landscape we are operating in now.
We all have to make sure our structural data is flawless. Well, thanks for exploring the mechanics of this with us today, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.